Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Blue Jet Healthcare Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need any assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Advait Bhadekar from EY. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Kisha. Good evening and a warm welcome everyone to Q2 and H1 FY26 earnings call of Blue Jet Healthcare Limited. Please note, the investor presentation and the financial results are available on the company website and the stock exchanges. Also, anything said on this call which reflects our outlook for the future or which could be construed as a forward-looking statement must be reviewed in conjunction with the risk that the company faces. The conference call is being recorded and the transcript along with the audio of the same will be made available on the website of the company as well as on the exchanges. Please also note that the audio of the conference call is the copyright material of Blue Jet Healthcare Limited and cannot be copied, rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media without specific and written consent of the company. From the management, we have with us today Mr. Shivan Arora, Managing Director, Mr. V.K. Singh, Chief Operating Officer, Mr. Ganesh Karupanan, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Sanjay Sinha, Deputy Chief Financial Officer. Now I would request Mr. Shivan Arora, Managing Director of Blue Jet Healthcare Limited, to provide you with the updates for the quarter and half year ended 30th September 2025. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Advait. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. We've just completed the first half of FY26, and I'm pleased to share that our strategic priorities, portfolio diversification, capacity-led growth, and disciplined execution continues to deliver tangible results, despite transient fluctuation in quarterly revenues. In terms of financial snapshot for Q2 and H1 FY26, EBITDA for Q2 was 601 million rupees at 36% margin, up 14% year-on-year, and for H1 stood at 1820 million rupees, 35%, up 41% year-on-year. PAT for Q2 was 432 million, which is 26%, and 1342 million for H1, representing 36% year-on-year growth. Despite revenue phasing this quarter, we have sustained high quality earnings with continued strength in margin and cash generation. Business performance in Contrast Media recorded revenues of 810 million in Q2, down 17% quarter on quarter. However, the dispatches or the quantity produced was much higher, and the same would be recognized in the next quarter. H1 revenues at 1780 million rupees is consistent with the previous year despite our muted Q1. The order book visibility remains strong and new iodinated intermediate is expected to go commercial in Q4 with encouraging outlook by the customer. Next segment, pharma intermediates and API. Q2 revenue was 420 million rupees, down 80% quarter-on-quarter due to phasing. However, H1 revenue grew by 113% year-on-year to 2550 million. High-intensity sweeteners grew 7% sequentially in Q2, and H1 growth stands at 3% year-on-year. I am pleased to announce the development results are very encouraging and approved by a key customer for a new sweetener, which has a global market size of 1 billion and a high per kg realization. In terms of operational and strategic highlights, we have commenced the groundwork on our 103-acre Vizag site with phase 1 targeting capacity for contrast media and artificial sweeteners. We have commitments from global customers that are backing this investment. In Mahad, our backward integration facility is on track for commissioning by H2 26. terms of cash flow and liquidity, we remain debt-free with robust internal accruals supporting our expansion plans. Working capital increased due to in-transit inventory, but operational cash flows remain positive. To summarize, at BlueJet, we remain committed to building a resilient multi-segment CDMO platform anchored in innovation, customer intimacy, and capital discipline. While quarterly variations are natural, our medium to long-term visibility is strong, fueled by order book momentum, customer lock-ins, new validations, and upcoming commercial milestones. Our performance in H1 demonstrates the strength of our core business and the stickiness of customer demand, which should provide comfort as we navigate quarter-to-quarter dynamics. With now, I hand over to Mr. V.K. Singh, our COO, to take you through our operational highlights. He will be followed by our CFO, Mr. Ganesh, who will walk you through the financials in detail. Thank you.
Thank you, Shivan, and good evening, all of you. Just to pick it up from where Shivan left, our endeavor always is to create capacity to keep in step with client requirements. In the last 4 years, we have quadrupled our capacity. With a similar intent, we are adding capacity at Unit 3 Mahad, which we will deploy to backward integrate for our contrast media intermediate segment, which I will hereafter refer as CMI. This is a highly engineered plant on continuous flow synthesis. This is the first time that we are migrating to flow synthesis for making KSMs for our CMI products. The project is on track and the site would go live as we committed in H2 of FY26. With this plant going on stream, we strengthen our position as a credible and leading global supplier of CMI to all the leading innovator companies in this segment. We further demonstrate our resolve to retain leadership position in the CMI segment. And with this backward integration, we achieve not only strategic independence, but also insulate the business from significant volatility that we have in key raw material prices. Additionally, the economies that we get due to the scale that we are building, we should be able to sell these intermediates also to third parties, for which we already have significant customer interest and visibility. High level of versatility and automation has been built into the design of this Mahad facility. We envisage that the earlier planned capex of 250 crores that we had spoken to you about, this will increase to about 300 crores because of this automation. Of this, we have already incurred about 135 crores in H1 of the current financial year. I'm very happy to share that there's been a surge of RFPs that we are receiving. While our focus has traditionally been on the chronic segment, we are building capacity to supply building blocks and peptide fragments to the innovators or the global CDMOs, which are very active and leading in this field. Given the interest that we are seeing in this segment, we are advancing with a plan to build a multipurpose plant and a state-of-the-art R&D center in Hyderabad. We are today tracking about 20 RFPs. Of this, about 6 are very high conviction phase 3 leads in the chronic space. Last week, we were at a global conference that we call CPHI, and we have received an RFP for an NCE. And 2 high conviction RFPs for commercial products that may fructify into lateral entries. To respond to this search in RFPs, a state-of-the-art R&D center is being planned at a cost of about 40 crores and will have newer chemistry platforms like peptides, intermediates for GLP-1s, biocatalysis, particularly on the immobilized catalysts, and work to augment and strengthen the innovator-oriented pipeline of the company with a focus, once again, on chronic diseases. We are very conscious of human health and climate change intersection. We contribute from our solar and windmills about 70% of our total energy consumption from renewables, In recognition of our efforts, we have received the CII National Award for Excellence in Energy Management. Now, the most important and interesting part, that's the future expansion plan. As I mentioned at the outset, in the last 4 years, we have quadrupled our capacity. In the next 2 to 3 years, we will maintain this growth momentum and will add another 1,000 KL capacity to keep in step with our aspiration, to keep in step with our medium-term goals and the requirements of our clients. To achieve this, we have acquired a 102-acre land in Vizag, where we will lay the foundation of a globally competitive, world-class CDMO. This land will be developed in 3 phases. In phase one, at an approximate capex of 1,000 crores, we are planning 4 blocks, 2 for contrast media, 1 for high-intensity sweetener that Shivan mentioned in his opening comments, and a 4th block, which is a multipurpose block, where we will do several new chemistries, including the peptide fragments for GLPs. We envisage that by FY28, we will complete phase one. The master planning of this land at Vizag is already complete, and we believe that the groundbreaking will be done in the coming quarter. With this, I hand over the call to our CFO, Ganesh, to take you through the key financials.
Good evening. Am I audible?
Yep.
Okay. Thanks for joining this conference call. I will revisit all the financial numbers. Starting with sales, reported revenue from operation, excluding other income, for Q2 26 of 165 crore is a decrease by 54% against Q1 and 21% for the same period last year. For H1, reported revenue at 580 crore is an increase by 40% for the same period last year. We will discuss revenue by product category. We will start with contrast media. Contrast media reported a turnover of 81 crore, a decrease by 17% sequentially. For the 6 months, for H1, reported sale is at 178 crore, almost same as H1 of last year. In the recent times, the transit time for shipment to the customer has reached a level of 60 days, what used to be a 35 to 40 days. Now, due to geopolitical reasons, the transit time has increased to 60 days. As you are aware, we can recognize revenue only when the customer receives the material at their site due to commercial terms. During this quarter, the goods in transfer is higher, goods in transit is higher, resulting in lower recognition of sales compared to the total production. Out of the total production, this quarter, only 55% of the sale was recognized. The remaining are in transit will be recognized in the subsequent quarter. We will discuss the gross margin impact separately because of this transit-related issues. The visibility of our order book in this segment on the marketed product is stable. The order book for intermediate for the NCE molecule is encouraging. The commercial scale of the iodinated intermediate is expected in Q4 of this financial year. Overall, we believe the trend is pretty stable in this particular segment. In the PI API category, reported sale of 42 crore, a decrease by 80% sequentially. For the first half year, the sale reported at 255 crore is an increase of 113% compared to H1 of 25. Intermediate for cardiovascular drug contributes to the growth of this category. As per customer publicly available data, the product is consistently growing and is able to get approval in multiple geographies quarter on quarter. Our growth in this molecule will follow the customer growth path. As far as artificial sweetener is concerned, we report there is a growth of 7% sequentially, and for half year ended September, there is a growth of 3% compared to the previous year. Coming to gross margin, our reported gross margin for Q2 is at 65%, and for Q1 it was 48%. For H1, the reported gross margin is 54%. I had mentioned about the goods in transit in contrast media, and only 55% of the production was recognized as sale in Q2. As you are aware, the overheads gets apportioned to the production quantity. Only to the extent of sale, the overhead gets charged to P&L. Since only 55% of the production was sold, the reported gross margin for Q2 is at 65%. If you want further details, you can actually get the data points from the published P&L statement under the head Change in Finished Goods and WIP. In the PI API product category, since the delivery term is X works, such variance doesn't occur. Moving on to EBITDA, there are no major significant difference variance in the operating expense. You can actually see the operating expenses are more or less stable quarter on quarter. The EBITDA remains at 33% for Q2 26, a reduction of 1% sequentially. EBITDA for H1 at 34% is an increase by 3% compared to H1 of last year. Coming to profit after tax, the reported PAT is at 32%, an increase by 6% compared to sequential quarter. This increase is driven more by other income of 24 crore, which is primarily due to exchange gain and return on short-term investments. Our liquidity position is healthy at 341 crore, and we are a debt-free company. Now we open the floor for questions, and moderator, you can actually take it on.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have first question from the line of Sudarshan from Ask NDPMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. Sir, a little bit more on the contrast media. You mentioned that 55% of the production was dispatched, and it is goods in transit. But if I'm looking at the impact on EBITDA, one, I understand that there is a goods in transit, but also we have seen a benefit to the extent of about 50 crores in terms of, change in inventory. So can you give some color with respect to what would be the impact on EBITDA if probably the elongated timelines had not happened this quarter?
See, like, if you look at this particular quarter, maybe the best example would be to see the half yearly where we had a 54% gross margin and we were able to deliver 34%. To me, that is a good sample where you could actually judge even without the variance of goods in transit. The H1 would be a good indicator for making assessment in terms of gross margin, EBITDA, and PAT.
Sure, sir. I mean, just to persist, if, you know, probably 55% is about 80-odd crores, probably we'll be looking at something like around 75 crores. We had seen some kind of a benefit in gross margins of about 50 crores. So about 25 crores, you know, is that something that you would be looking at? I'm just trying to, you know, understand the impact, 20 to 25 crores.
We will not be able to discuss the profitability by segment. And I think for you, you have two clear sets of actual numbers, the Q2 as well as the H1, which would be a good indicator.
Sure, sir. Sir, then coming to the pharma intermediate space, two things, here is, this quarter has been much lower than expected, and I, of course, agree that it can be lumpy on a quarter-on-quarter basis. Given, we have discussed about, new regions getting approvals, and if I read the cardiovascular drug, it's also getting a triple combination, which is everything, clearances. So, I mean, some color with respect to, what should we look at in terms of for the second half and probably beyond? Should we look at the numbers improving? Because if I look at it, we have basically moved from 50 crores to, 150 crores to 200 crores and back to 50 crores. So it is a little bit all around the place in that sense.
Shivan, you want to take it?
I think where we can see some positive upsides, not just by this particular cardiovascular product. I think the results are quite encouraging. Yeah. I think the way the molecule is behaving and the way it's been able to capture newer markets. And most importantly, in such a molecule, we should see the prescription trends. So they are also consistently increasing. Considering our position in this space, working closely with the innovator, we believe that we should be able to capture a significant part of this projected growth, at least for the full patent protected cycle.
Sure, sir. One final question before I join back to Q is, we talked about the other molecules, 6-5 conventional late stage molecules. We have talked about GLP-1. With respect to, the numbers flowing in, so when do we start, in your opinion, start to look at the other molecules contributing apart from the cardiovascular drug meaningfully in that sense?
FY27 and beyond.
Sure. And for the full year, we should be maintaining the, EBITDA of about 35% or so, right? So that's what we've been doing. There's no change in that kind of...
That should be the endeavor. And right now also the other molecules in the, Mr. VK mentioned about the portfolio, they are contributing to the overall segment, but I think in a meaningful way, I think in the coming years, this should be our endeavor.
Sure. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Participants, in order to ensure the management can address all your questions, I would request you to limit your question to 2 questions per participant. Next question is from Sanjay Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for taking my questions. I got a few of them. First, starting with the contrast media segment. The supplies which got delayed in terms of recognizing into revenue, was it largely an ABHCL we're talking about, or even the new product which we have started shipping both on iodinated ABHCL and the NC on the MRI?
Difficult to contribute specifically on a molecule, but I think it depends on the ENCO terms. that we have with the customer.
And is that the term same for all the three product, or it's just for the few molecules?
The major molecule, I think, has an impact of this recognition. But with the other candidates, at least with one of them, we've been able to have a better outcome.
Got it. And in terms of iodinated ABHCl, what should be the run rate we should be now seeing now that it is commercially started supplying? How should we see that pan out, say, in FY27 or in the second half of FY26? Should it have a stable and an increasing volume? We should anticipate that to happen?
Absolutely. Stable and an increasing volume of take. As you are aware, we won't be able to give a guidance, but in terms of the end molecule and API, it's growing. And the kind of visibility we have from our customer is extremely encouraging. In fact, it got reinforced at our trade show this year. So we are quite happy with a capacity being ready and a product being validated.
It's just validated, or we have started the commercial supply? Both for the MRI as well as the iodinated ABHCl. Both we have started the commercial production, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Second, on the sweetener, Shivin, you talked about a new sweetener. Can you elaborate more? When should we start seeing it? How large the opportunity we are looking at it? And when should that product start contributing to the revenue?
No, so it's a very established sweetener. The overall market size is about $1 billion, right? Today we'd be the only source manufacturing it out of India. What we've done in saccharin, we want to replicate the same strategy. And what we had done in saccharin, we were trying to capture 10% of the world market. Over here also, our endeavor would be to reach to that 10% in a long-term vision. Clients are similar, so they know our track record. They know our quality standards. So we have the anchor customer with us. Meaningful commercial volumes will come from Vizag. In the meantime, we'll be doing some smaller quantities from our multipurpose plant. But the design of the plant is completed, and this will form a part of the groundbreaking in Vizag.
So when should that start? Vizag plant should start 18 months from now?
We will give some more clarity on that, Sanjesh, but the way I look at Vizag plant, you will see capacities coming on stream in different phases in FY28, FY29, and beyond. Some would also kick in earlier from our brownfield expansions in Mahad, but that's broadly the way we look at Vizag.
Got it. And next, on the peptide side of the business, we can see some peptides getting exported. At least that's visible in the data now. Are we more looking at validation, or these are the customer-oriented validation, or these are internal capability validation? When should we see commercial activity happening on the peptide side of the business?
See, on the peptide part, few opportunities that we are tracking are for the NCEs.
Okay.
And a few opportunities that we are tracking are on the products which are already commercial. And one opportunity, as we mentioned once in the past as well, is for an excipient for a product that's already commercial.
Yes.
So there are, you know, different layers on the peptide fragment part. Just to clarify that for the moment, our plan is only to be in the peptide fragments. And what we will be supplying and engaging with clients and signing up supply contracts will be for the fragments.
And have we started doing...
Mr. Sanjay, sorry for interrupting. I would request you to rejoin the queue for a follow-up question.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for taking all of this.
Thanks, Sanjay.
Best of luck for the coming quarters. Yeah.
Thank you. Next question we have is from Nikhil from SIMPL. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, and good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Two questions. One is, on the in the presentation we've mentioned about this inventory destocking of the channel inventory in the pharma intermediate, while the prescriptions and all are very strongly growing. So how should one understand what is this channel inventory destocking and why was it happening? Secondly, if we go to our Q1 call, our view was that for the full year, we should see slight growth on the intermediate business from based on the order book and all what you see today. How do you see this scaling up for the rest of the year?
I think the question is quite complicated. There are too many variables around it, right? And I think in terms of the offtake requirements, sometimes in a high growth molecules can be very dynamic in nature, right? We still continue to hold the statement that we've earlier issued to the larger audience. But I think from your standpoint, you should be able to, you should monitor about the growth in the molecules and the acceptance in the new markets. As long as things are okay on that front, we should be able to continue to grow in this segment.
Just to add to what Shivin said, when a molecule is getting launched in new markets, then there are certain launch quantities that are ordered, and that will always create some channel inventory. And if you can, I mean, this is something in public domain, that this molecule is entering more and more markets. It's getting approvals and is entering more markets. One of the very large markets will be Japan.
No, I understand, and we've seen this happening in other companies as well. But generally what we see is that after the commercial launches, it's a lull of at least one and a half year before the CDMO partner again sees kind of a bigger volume offtake. So over the next 12 to 18 months, I'm not asking for next quarter or 6 months, but over the next 12 to 18 months, how should we build in the numbers here?
No, no, I really appreciate your understanding of the segment to start with. I think our lag won't be, this is not a very extreme case that we have good visibility and we are in touch with the innovator and their key partners in the segment. I think it feels like a right now a temporary impact.
Okay. Secondly, see on the gross margin, if we go back to our Q1 call, our idea was that we would stay in that 50 to 53%. Now, you did mention about the reasons, but if you can just help us understand a little better, because there is too much variability, and this variability was not there all these, since the time we've been listed, and only in last two quarters the variability has increased from 48, 65. If you can just help us understand what has happened, because the freight impact and all, most companies have been calling out for last one and a half years that the time periods have increased, but it's getting reflected in our numbers and in a very aggravated manner. So if you can just help us understand what has changed in last 6 months.
I think the long and short answer of this should be, you should take care in terms of that direct comparison of the H1 numbers, right? I think that sets a good average. It gets blended in very well. In this particular molecule, as far as the cardiovascular drug is considered, we've been able to grow this segment by, triple digits percentage. So things like this happen. There is an element of inventory. Maybe Ganesh, you want to add up something to this aspect?
Actually, we are consistent when we talk about our gross margin. See, one thing you have to appreciate, the shipment cannot be uniform across all quarters. The customers have very different schedule. And the last couple of quarters, we also had this transit time issue. If you recall, it used to be 30-odd days, then the Red Sea jacked it up to 45, 50 days. Now we have to reroute it. Now it is becoming 60. Okay. More than this particular reason, the reality is the offtake by the customer. So it may not be uniform across quarter, across months. So there will be variability, and that is actually showing up. for you to get a better understanding, if you take a half-yearly number or an annual number, that is a very good representation of our margin profile.
Sure, I'll probably try to connect offline to understand it better. Thank you.
Sure, you can do that.
Thanks for asking these questions.
Thank you very much. Participants, please limit your question to 2 questions so the management can address all the questions. Next question is from Piyush Kumar from Magnus Hathaway Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, sir, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my question. Sir, my question is regarding the bempedoic acid. So what exactly is happening in this entire market of the bempedoic, and how do you see the entire thing going ahead, sir?
I thank you for this question. You know, this is in the cardiovascular space, and it's the only oral product which is approved for hypercholesterolemia. And if you see quarterly growths, even in the last quarter, the molecule grew between 10 to 15% quarter on quarter. So I think the growth is very good. The additional indications which are getting approved, that's an excellent news. New markets are opening up. A very large market like Japan is opening up. So I think everything is going very good for the molecule. It's patent protected till 2031. So I don't see any concern, any issue as far as this product is concerned for us.
Okay, sir, thank you. And my sir, last question is regarding the gross margins of all 3 segments. As we can see, we are driving 45% of our revenue from the API segment right now, right? So how are the gross margins of all 3 segments, sir?
We don't prepare segment-wise P&L.
Okay.
You get only the blended gross margin, actually.
Okay. So, sir, so just one last question, sir. The entire chronic disease molecules, how are they performing, sir, apart from bempedoic acid? Do you have any view on that on the market?
So one is what we are supplying today. So there are, 10 or 12 products in addition to bempedoic in this product category. And we believe that 2 or 3 candidates are very, very scalable. But beyond that, what is more important is the RFPs that we are tracking and in the process of signing up with some of the very large innovator companies, extremely large innovator companies. So I think as a segment, this is poised for good growth, and seeing that, we are also building extra capacity for this particular product vertical, both in Mahad and Vizag.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Shashank Krishna Kumar from MK Global. You may go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for taking my question. My first one was on the CMI business. So the part of the revenue getting recognized this quarter, so given the Incoterms, isn't that probably a regular feature every quarter, or is there something that was drastically different? Because typically in any case, we would end up recognizing only a part of what we end up producing in this business segment, right?
Normally, like if your opening cutoff and closing cutoff are similar, you won't have this issue. Because of the customer offtake, our opening cutoff was very less. So this is, you can take it partially a one-off situation. As long as you have the, what you say is right, if the opening and closing transit are identical, one should not have this issue. If you look at our Q1, we didn't have that much of in transit. So this you could actually understand from the P&L what has been published in terms of changes in finished goods. And this is purely based on customer offtake.
Got it. And just a related question. So I think we've been guiding to a 2H recovery in the CMI business. Now, if I look at 1H, we have been flattish YOY. 2H, could we see an uptick on a YOY basis, or how should we think about CMI revenue in the second half?
Based on our forecast, I think it is pretty stable, and you could see the last year trend getting a repeat of last year trend.
Got it. And just last one, if I could just squeeze one more in. So given that we're looking to add close to 1,000 KL of capacity next 2 to 3 years, and particularly two blocks for CMI, now given the phase where our CMI business is in, do you foresee a phase where you could probably see a sharp cost revenue mismatch once incremental capacities come in, say sometimes towards the end of FY27? Or how should we think about margins when new capacities come on stream? Because there will be this phase where incremental revenue might not hit, but some costs would start coming in.
As far as the greenfield is concerned, almost the majority of the cost will be capitalized. So, there won't be any incremental cost till the commercialization happens. Obviously, there would be certain R&D expenditure, and we are also expanding our senior management, which could actually, increase our operating expense. But given the growth, what we see in the next 18 to 24 months, we could still sustain the similar margins.
Got it, sir. Thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Next question is from Naveen Baid from Nuvama AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity. So you spoke of three late-stage onco and CNS candidates. Where are we in terms of the visibility on when they could be commercialized?
I think we are looking at FY27 for this.
For all three of them?
It's very difficult to segment works, how the CDMO business works, particularly for NC molecules. But then all that we can say right now is there's high conviction, the data is extremely good, and the customers that we are tying up with, they are extremely large, so they are very good opportunities.
Some color on what would be the opportunity size for those three molecules, I mean, irrespective of the timeline, whether it is 27 or 28?
So they are blockbusters, which means that they are all, the end formulation market is more than $1 billion.
Individually for all three of them?
No. Yeah, of course, individually. Individually.
Okay.
And in this, I'm talking of only the onco opportunities. I'm not including the fragments that we are doing for GLPs. There, the opportunity size, as far as the end product is concerned, as you know, is significantly larger.
Thank you. That could be helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ravi Purohit from Securities Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. So the sweeteners, new product that we are, where we have tied up and we are required, we'll be supplying to the anchor customer. Will we be shipping some of it from Mahad, or is it going to be exclusively done from the Vizag facility? And whether these kind of products also need any kind of US FDA inspection and approvals, or that's not required in this case?
No, so US FDA does not fall under this this particular category. It's more about different respective regulations for food safety.
Okay.
It will be offered in the interim period from our multipurpose facilities, but just wanted to clarify that there is one anchor customer, but there are a range of customers that are on our radar. We will make the right noise once the plant is ready, but they'll be more than happy to buy it from us as well.
But so this will exclusively come from Vizag. It will not come in the existing facilities that we have. So we don't really have any place to kind of make that in the interim. This is essentially we are talking of once the new Vizag facility comes up, right?
See, a major needle mover would be the Vizag facility, but at the same time, there will be some movement, some traction from our existing plants.
Okay.
But, you know, at this particular volume and once you have to be competing with the Chinese price, it's more about the engineering and the scale. So this will be a specialized plant, just like our flow synthesis that we are doing in Mahad. Just the high level of automation, there will be quite similarity between these two particular blocks.
And do these kind of things come with like some long-term offtake agreements with the customers? I mean, we've seen a few CDMO projects in India where the customer has actually kind of gone ahead and funded some of the capex requirements of the CDMO company, or have kind of, you know, done some sort of long-term arrangement, offtake arrangement. So are we looking at similar structure here, or is it like, you know, like an annual affair, you know, be supplying certain amount of goods every year?
The commitment, offtake commitment, typically with some of these anchors that we speak in the CMI, in the sweetener segment, are long-term in nature, right? But given the company's strong financials and strong net cash position, we typically have been funding the capex from our internal accruals. And with the growth we envisage, we should be able to maintain this trend going forward.
And so on the pharma intermediate, particularly for bempedoic acid, right, we have a certain amount of capacity. Could you kind of roughly indicate what kind of patient pool can it address? Let's say, for example, if we have 100 metric tons or 180 metric tons capacity per annum. Now, the bempedoic acid, like say from intermediate to API, requires a certain conversion, and then from there to the final formulation.
It's a complicated math, but I'll just simplify it the way we look at it. This has been in close discussion with the innovators also. So when we build capacities, not just for pharma intermediate, but the CMI vertical also, we look at a five-year view. And given this five-year view, we've developed this kind of capacity. The ramp-up could be accelerated or could be delayed by 12 to 18 months. But given the trends, given the projections, I think it's fairly moving well.
You know, what I meant was, let's just, next year, let's say, 2 million patients are taking this drug, right? So would that mean?
I don't want to give a specific number because it's there are CDAs involved, and it's sometimes inaccurate to just give a specific number also. So fundamentally, you should understand what's the company's view in terms of set of capacity built up, whether it's in anticipation of an order or working very closely with the customer. I think the latter part is well in entrenched in our strategy.
Okay. And so lastly on this...
Sorry for interrupting, Mr. Ravi. I would request you to rejoin for a follow-up question.
Thanks, Ravi.
Thank you. Next question is from Deepak Podar from Sapphire Capital. Go ahead, please.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much, sir, for this opportunity. So I just wanted to understand first up, now a couple of reasons that you mentioned because of the, revenue decline that we have seen in this quarter was the transit time and destocking in the channel inventory. So just wanted to understand, as we speak, has the situation normalized in terms of transit time as well as in terms of the channel inventory? And can one expect normalized growth from this third quarter onwards?
We don't give a guidance, Deepak, but in terms of the question, I think these has been asked and also answered in different ways. So I think we are in line with what we believe for these respective segments.
Okay. So has the transit time, which has increased to 60 days, has reduced now?
It's we live in a very dynamic world. it's somewhat similar, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But some vessels are getting rerouted in a more optimized manner. Some are taking that 55-60 days. So we are trying to optimize things as we speak.
Okay, understood. And in terms of, do we have any exports to US as well?
Very limited.
Okay, understood. And just final thing, we are adding capacity at Mahad, right?
Sorry, the US number would be less than 5% of the overall revenues.
Less than 5%. And is there any tariff impact we can see there?
Again, it's a very dynamic world we live in.
Okay, fair. And just one final thing. We are adding capacity at Mahad, right? So is it entirely for backward integration?
Backward for the CMI, and also there are other derivatives that could be used for not just... So backward integration is for bottom line expansion, and the other derivatives would be used for the top line expansion. So it's again taking a 5-year view and the growth in the segment,
mm-hmm.
and our it just strengthens our position in the segment particularly.
Okay, I got it. That's very helpful, sir. I mean, that would be it from my side. All the very best to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Deepak.
Thank you. Next question is from Alankar from Kotak Institutional Equities. Go ahead, please.
Hi, good evening, everyone. So firstly, what was the utilization rate in the PI-API facility in this quarter? And also, if you could give the utilization rate at the aggregate level?
Hi, Alankar. You know, on a quarterly basis, it's not possible for us to give utilization rates, but on an annualized basis, like we said in the previous call, about 60-65% capacity utilization, and we believe that we would stay in that range. I mean, there is headroom that we have provided for the uptick, but in the near term, I think we'll stay in that range.
But I understand why this question is being asked. We will try to clarify it in the coming calls also.
Yes, sir. I mean, that question was more related to the gross margin fluctuation. So maybe on that, Shivan, from a cost accounting standpoint, especially regarding the recognition of fixed cost overheads, do you think you are adopting the right approach? While I understand the volatility in the PI-API segment, it's just that the extent of gross margin volatility seems way too high.
We are aware of it, and this has been validated multiple times. It's just that the growth is quite radical in the PI segment, and we will try to connect offline and perhaps dwell a bit more into the segment or the concept you're trying to refer.
Understood. And just one question there as a follow-up. With sales in the cardiovascular molecule likely reaching more normalized levels going forward compared to the levels we saw from, say, the third quarter FY25 to first quarter FY26, should we expect lesser volatility in gross margins here on?
With the current portfolio, if you take it on an annualized basis, it will be more or less stable. You won't see this volatility.
So on a quarterly basis, this could continue, this kind of volatility?
It depends on how the customer picks up the order. I think the volatility happens purely because of this, and this happens only in the contrast media. As far as the PI-API is concerned, whatever we produce, we sell. So, and there it is exports. So we don't have this issue of transit and all. So we don't have that sort of an issue as far as PI-API is concerned. This is very specific to a particular customer who has this in Incoterm.
Okay, so just one last question there. If I look at the issue in the first quarter, when our gross margins came down to 48%, wasn't it because of the PI API segment? And please correct me if I'm wrong. Or was it, as you are saying now, it was because of the CMI segment?
It is purely on account of contrast media. If you notice, the transit was very low in Q1. And this model you can actually see from the printed financials. What you see as minus 50 crore in Q1, it will be plus 70.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
We can connect offline.
Thank you. Participants, I would request you to limit your question to one so the management can answer all the questions. Next question is from Rusmik Oza from Nine Rays Equi Research. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. First is on the molecule that's, one second, it's on the bempedoic acid. How much of this product, you know, in terms of the innovator requirement is met from our company? And second question in the same regards is, one of the competitors, Newland Laboratories, also expanded its capacity by 100 metric tons in this space. So do you see any threat or any competition or in terms of fulfilling the demand of innovator on this side?
See, there are strong CDAs in place and it's very hard to comment on any other company. I mean, our track record has been quite solid with the innovator and hence this growth that you've seen and which has translated into numbers as well. So we believe if we are honest to our efforts and in our execution plans, we should be able to capture a decent amount of growth in the next coming years.
Okay. Okay. Thanks, sir. And the second question is regarding the backward integration at Mahad. How much, once the first phase comes in, how much of your requirements of whatever raw material intake gets covered by this CapEx? And in terms of margins, how much headroom or improvement in margins do you expect from this backward integration?
We will continue to buy some material from our existing partners. Since it's a critical raw material, it's important to have build resilience in the supply chain. So margin expansion will be gradual in nature, will be spread out over the next few quarters. It's more about building more stability and resilience.
Okay, okay. But is it fair to assume that majority of your requirement will be met with this macro integration or...
So the capacities are big enough. So we've again taken a long-term view. If we want to accelerate, we can accelerate much faster. But I think it's more important to think about the business continuity and all the risk mitigation strategies when you're trying to build long-term partnership with our end.
Okay. Okay. And just a follow-up question, sir, on this bempedoic acid. This is a follow-on question, ma'am. Okay,
please
thanks, I'll come in the queue.
No, just please ask.
I just want to understand what is the size and opportunity of bempedoic acid based on, you know, that your combination of usage is going to increase and so on and so forth. What is the scale, size, opportunity of this and how much of that can be catered by our company? That's my question.
So, you know, as Shivan mentioned, we have taken a long-term view for the capacity. So as far as capacity is concerned, we are very well placed. The second, you know, you asked about competition, this, that. So we are not privy to what type of capacity is being put up. But the molecule is growing very fast, so there's space for us and for any other competitor. The other thing is that we are protected with long-term contracts. And if you see the data, the primary source of supply is us. besides, you know, the opportunity is extremely big, and the triple combination could be a game changer.
Okay. Thanks, sir. That's it from my side. Very nice to hear that we, at least we are covered, and there is a little threat from competition. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next question is from Shraddha from Neo AMC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you, and good evening. Just wanted to understand on the Contrast Media side, as you explained that a lot of transit issues were there in this quarter, which are gradually getting resolved. And also given that we are entering new segments like the MRI, CMI, so what is the kind of visibility as, you know, our CFO was referring in one of the earlier questions that it should be more steady state. But isn't it that we were earlier talking of going at least to the FY23 levels in the CMI segment? So just wanted to understand the visibility over the next 12 to 18 months in the CMI segment.
Well, very encouraging, Shraddha. I think it's just that we don't want to give a specific number to the growth, right? We're just being a bit mindful about it. But there are two needle movers. One is the NC molecule for the MRI space. The it's growing extremely well. You can see the reports about it, which are quite available, easily available. And on the iodinated intermediate for contrast media, that also the capacity is ready and the product is being validated. So things are looking good from that standpoint also for a 12 to 18 month period.
Sure. Thank you. That is all from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time, that was the last question. I now hand over the conference to management for closing comments.
Thank you all. I really appreciate the questions being asked and looking forward to our future interactions.
On behalf of Blue Jet Healthcare Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.